Here we go.
Where are you, man?
Genius billionaire playboy philanthropist.
We are the Knights!
Nerd!
Hold on to your butts.
And now for something completely different.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Knights of Nerditude, a podcast for all things nerd. I am your host this week, Sean. I'm here with...
Sam.
And...
Good morning, Viet nerds!
John.
Yes, Chris is not with us. Sam, why is Chris not here this week?
He is currently prospecting up in Alaska with a CGI dog.
Oh, well...
Wow,
spoiler alert. Well, I guess, boys, we'll just hop really quick into news this week. We will also be talking about Watchmen and Mandalorian, which, you know, I'll be honest with you, wasn't our original intention to have an episode this week. But I think the quality of episodes we got on those two shows sort of demanded it.
Oh,
they're very different sort of shows, but it's like a 1-2 punch these days. Mm-hmm. Like, we are. A little overwhelmed here, but we'll try to guide you all through it. Anyway, quick up on news, just a couple items here. First one, though, we got to give you your trailer of the week. Harrison Ford in Call of the Wild, starring alongside a very CGI-looking dog.
Yeah.
Fellas, any thoughts?
Go ahead, Sam.
Like, why? I can't understand why they couldn't use a real dog.
Sam, can I counter-argument that?
Yeah.
Why not? I am all about this. It totally reminds me of Shatner in Star Trek. Was it Generations? Where, like, he died and he's in that, like, ribbon thing and he's, like, living his dream, like, living off the land and stuff. That's, like, we're watching, you know... Han Solo do the exact same thing, but instead of Chewbacca, we've got a CGI dog. Like,
I don't remember Patrick Stewart being CGI in that movie, but all right.
Yeah, this is a very odd choice for Harrison Ford,
yes.
Can I say the least? I mean, like pretty clearly went in and, like, the writers of Star Wars knew he wasn't going to do more than one movie.
Right.
So they killed him off in the first one. So he can, I guess, just to be called the one. I mean, like, he must have loved this book as a kid or something, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
There's no other way. Like, why is he... I haven't looked at the director or whatever. I can't imagine there's much there. I mean, they probably would have said it if it was.
Right.
But, you know, I think... I don't know. I have nothing to say to that.
Like,
I mean,
the only thing I can think of is they were like, how are we going to get that dog to give him the sassy eye that we saw at the end of the trailer? Like, there's no way you could train a dog to give the sassy eye.
Well, we are in a day and age where everybody's under a very close microscope in movies and whatnot. And there was that movie, was it a Dog's Purpose or whatever? A dog's something or other movie that came under very bad scrutiny because a clip from behind the scenes came out and they were like, see, the dog is suffering. It's like drowning and everything. And even though everyone on set, even the people like keeping an eye, making sure
right.
that nothing
even
was wrong.
Even the like Humane Society
yeah,
people.
They were like, there was nothing wrong. That clip is totally out of context.
Mm.
And nobody went to see that movie because they were all boycotting it.
I don't think that's why nobody saw it.
It got pretty decent reviews. It did. It got a sequel, Sam. But no, a lot of people bashed that movie because of that one clip that leaked online saying that, oh, you got to boycott this movie because they're, you know, they're treating the dogs horribly. And they didn't, obviously.
I don't know anybody who's like, I'm not going to see that movie now.
This was like 5 years ago, and like the sequel came out recently.
Yeah, I think this like happened last year, though, too.
No.
Or with I thought the controversy was with the second movie.
No, it was the first one.
All right. Well, they did make a sequel.
Yeah.
They also made this movie. stick around for a review maybe when it comes out. It seems like it'd be a Christmas movie. Maybe they're dumping in, I don't know when it's even coming out. Fuck, it could come out next Christmas for all we know.
Well, it said February.
All right, well, February. Maybe we can trick someone going to see it.
Which, so, as we always put in for February, like early year movies, if it looks good, it's not.
Right.
So,
never good.
Yeah. It's very rare for like a first 3 months.
January, February are dump months.
Yeah. It's like, was it good enough for an Oscar? No. All right.
The very like first couple weeks of January can be okay, but the rest of the month is like
garbage. Yeah, because that's usually when you get like the movies that's been select theaters get like full releases in early January, right, somewhere around there. But after that, it's like just dumb.
It's a tough one. All right, well, moving on past that, this weekend was a big weekend for your boy.
Yeah.
Got to get into the con game.
Yes, please tell us about your first con experience.
Cons on con. Right? No, con on cons.
Yes.
Sorry.
Yes.
So, I went to New Jersey, Secaucus, New Jersey, to go to the first, and I believe now only, Sopranos Con. And let me tell you, fucking inexperienced, to say the least. Got there 11 o'clock. No. Got there like 11:30. Waited in a big line just to get through security.
Yeah, that's,
I mean,
normal.
there was a tremendous response to this. So we get through security. Then
do you think they weren't expecting this big of a response, or?
I think if they knew they were getting this many people, they might have gone a little bit of a bigger venue. Because, so this is what happened, you know, got through the security line, mm-hmm, got through another line for tickets, and then we get in, and it's pretty crowded. I mean, it had already been open to the general public for like an hour and a half by that point. Actually, probably close to like 2 hours, because I think doors opened at 10, and we probably didn't get through security until 12. And there was a lot of people there. I mean, we already saw people like coming out like on the way in.
Wow.
So, yeah, I mean, like, they had a shitload of vendors. There was a lot of real estate for like autographs, which like I just didn't care about.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to pay like $40 to get an autograph with, you know, almost anybody. So.
Right. It has to be somebody special. Right. Like to get an autograph.
Yeah. And like none of the really big names were there. Right. I mean, pretty much anybody else was, which was an accomplishment in and of itself.
It's usually one of those, like, if this was successful, maybe the higher up people,
right,
might show up
maybe,
next time.
Maybe next year, which I'll get to the next year part of it in a minute. But, you know, it was funny because, like, they had some, like, props from the show. They had, like, a couple of the cars. Like, one of them was in a scene where, like, the guy got shot up, so there's a whole bunch of bullet marks and stuff in it. They had a couple of, like, interactive experiences. Like, there's this one episode where two of the guys get, like, lost in the woods. So they had this whole thing where it was, like, you're walking through, like, a maze with, like, you know, like Haunted Hill style, like, plywood board maze sort of thing. And it was, like, a bunch of, like, quotes, and there was pictures of, like, woods and stuff. So it was like you were experiencing the episode. It was very, like, modern art and, like, sort of on point. Like, I will give them credit for this. The whole thing was, like, tremendously well thought out in the micro, but maybe parts of the macro didn't come together as well. Like, you know, there was a lot of people there. I mean, there was, so it was the sort of thing where, like, we were there for like a half hour and then, like, went over to the area where they were doing like discussions and stuff and watched the cannoli eating contest, which was like 20 minutes. And by the time we got out of there, it was like packed. Oof. So, you know, I ended up going around buying a couple things, waiting in a couple long lines, and then I like just like went outside to chill for a bit for like a half hour once I got my lunch, and then when I came back in, it wasn't as bad. Still walked around a little bit more, and then me and my buddy, we were sitting in on panels pretty much the rest of the day.
Yeah,
so that was good. You know, like they had a lot of people. I guess what you would call cosplaying. I mean, it was a variety of things.
You know, you were in New Jersey, so it's hard to tell.
Right, exactly. Like a buddy, and I mean, God, the crowd was incredible. I'll say this: most of the people I saw were in great spirits. Everyone was like very jazzed to be there. A lot of people like in tracksuits, in a lot of people in like shirts that just Tony would wear or has worn. Like he wears all these like kind of like bowling shirts, kind of like very like 15 years ago dad style. And you know, other people dressed up as like other sort of more like on the nose kind of costumes. So it was good. It was a fun time. I guess what they're doing is they're gonna, instead of doing just a Sopranos con, they're gonna do a mob movie con in April, and I think the plan is they're gonna just do that annually, which makes sense because it's a little bit of a wider focus.
Right.
You know, they could probably like, you know, feature one thing like each year to make it like a little bit different, like, you know, do a Godfather one and then do like a Casino
plus
one.
It's probably a lot easier to get guests to come in, like the big name guests,
right?
You know hey, Ray Liotta, come on in.
Oh god, like, you could definitely get Ray Liotta.
Yeah.
Ray, love the Chantix commercials. I stopped smoking because of you, because I saw how awful you looked when you weren't smoking.
Was it a good experience for you?
It was. Okay. I think they had a little bit of an issue with the VIP, with some of the stuff with the stuff they gave out. Like they gave people like autograph like tickets or whatever, and
oh, like fast pass kind
yeah
of thing.
So I think some of the people at the VIP like weren't happy about how some of that turned out. Okay. I just paid $50 general admission.
Yeah.
So they said they spent $600,000 putting the whole thing on, which is mind-boggling to me. But you know, they like I said, it was very well like detailed and stuff. Like they had a bunch of like quotes everywhere, and like the like food court looked like a like Feast of St. Anthony or whatever, you know. And yeah, it was a good time.
Yeah, I feel like it takes a few years for cons to really like understand what's going on, because like even at like Rhode Island Comic Con, I mean, when it was still young, I mean, they had no idea. Like the line to get in was massive; took forever to get in. There was one year where you could only enter into the Dunkin' Donuts Center. And then you had to walk a lap in there before you go into the convention center where everything is.
Oh, that sucks.
So it's like if you leave the building, you have to walk all the way back. And it's like it's November. It's cold.
Right. Yeah.
So and like if you let's say you were in the convention center and you were like, oh, I have to go see one of the big name people because they're in the dunk. You had to go outside and re-enter through the main doors and wait and like. Thank goodness that lasted like 1 year, because that was a clusterfuck. It was awful. But yeah, they've definitely learned from their mistakes in the past. Now it's, I mean, this year we showed up half hour after they opened, and I literally walked right in. There was zero line.
Was there still a lot of people there, or just like the
there was
line
a decent
was
amount of people? Yeah. I mean, it wasn't as big as years past, but they've also opened the convention because the convention center's three floors, so. It used to be only on, like, the first floor was, like, most of the guests and all the vendors. Top floor was just for panels and stuff. And they've opened it up a little bit more, and they've expanded a little better. And it's a better flow and better feel now. So
One thing, you guys are definitely right. You're right about the cash. Thanks for telling me.
You're welcome.
Because that would have been bad if I hadn't. But the... And I was pretty sure this was going to happen, but the random vendor selling shit has, like, nothing to do with it. Like, the guy who's selling, like, knives and, like...
Yep.
Another one was, like, selling, like, N64 cartridges and shit.
Oh, yeah.
Like, very, very on point.
Yeah, yeah. Any good artists there?
So, they... Well, they had, like, a bunch of murals and stuff. Like, there's a bunch of stuff that, you know, you could totally take, like, selfies in front of and shit and look good. They had one, like, legit artist there who was actually, like, selling stuff.
Okay.
Then, the actual people throwing the thing on was selling a bunch of Soprano shit that, like, I'm almost positive there's no way they got the clearance to actually sell any of it. They just sold it. Because it has the likeness of, like... a bunch of different people who I guess in theory maybe they could have gotten to sign off. I think almost all of them showed up.
Right.
And I don't know why exactly you'd say no if you were like fucking, oh God, what the fuck's his name? The one who was just in Watchmen. Anyway.
Oh.
But, you know, why you'd say no to some of this stuff if it's just like free money.
Yeah.
But yeah, so they were selling a bunch of stuff that like posters and, you know, the one thing I'm going to just like rip on t-shirt companies here for a minute. Like, okay, guys, we get it that like you're selling a t-shirt for a brand that exists inside some sort of movie or TV show. That's okay. Cool. Like, I got that joke like 20 years ago. Like, we can move on. I don't know. There's a part, like, do you not see, like, 1,000 Instagram ads for, like, shit like that?
Oh, yeah.
It's just...
Yeah.
It's like, no, man, I don't need a Callahan Auto Parts fucking t-shirt. Thank you.
Yeah, it's an easy sell, so...
Yeah.
It is. I don't know. I guess I'm just anti-basic bitch sometimes.
I mean, there's some that I'd be like, yeah, I totally get that, but, like, there's other... Most of them are, like... It's a small like audience, like
yeah. I did buy 2 pieces of art to hang up on my walls, though, I will say.
Nice, nice.
And then I was like, I have a fucking like 1-bedroom apartment. Why did I buy 2 Sopranos things? Like, people are gonna think I'm a like psycho. I'm gonna have to like hide one in my bedroom just so nobody like. Oh man. Anyway, but yes. I couldn't. But there was one that's like I had to get it, and then I really like this other one too. So, all right.
Well, if you if you're interested next year for Rhode Island Comic Con, you're more than welcome to join us.
Maybe. I mean, there was a lot of lines. Even you know, once you get inside, a lot of people, a lot of like you know.
Yeah, that's usual con.
Three
yeah.
people working a vendor or whatever when there's like 20 people around trying to order stuff, sort of thing.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see. Maybe maybe a little bit more open to it. But I guess it was sort of like what I expected, though. To be fair, like
I feel like you have to go to one before like just to introduce. And you did it perfectly. It was a very like centralized thing. It was like just Sopranos,
right?
So like going to a big convention, like a Comic-Con, you're like, whoa, there's a lot here. Why are half these people wrestlers? It's weird.
Yeah,
I don't get it. But.
Sometimes I felt tempted just to get into wrestling so I know what the fuck's going on.
Yeah. It was, though, just what... It was, like, literally everything I wanted it to be. Good. Which doesn't mean it was perfect by any means.
No.
But it was... But... It was, yeah. Like, I mean, they had, like, a dude fucking... This is, like... I mean, I say main stage, it was, like, one stage.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they had a dude rapping, and it was fucking awful. And then at one point, I, like, got up and walked around. My buddy was still there, and he's like, this comedian is, like, the worst comedian I've ever heard. It was pretty great.
Oh man, that's awesome. All right. Well, I guess we'll hop right into our first topic.
Does John want to give it a rating?
Oh yeah, do you want to give it a rating? 1 through 10?
I'm gonna give it 4 out of 5 cannolis.
Ah, ooh. I like it. All right. Well, you mentioned Watchmen, so let's hop right into to Watchmen right there. So what was the name of this episode? Anybody remember?
Something remember? The long remember?
So we mentioned that last week. So Angela, she took the memory pills from her grandfather. And basically this episode is just her reliving his memories.
This is an origin story.
Yeah. Oh my God, is it an origin story?
Somehow, like, Watchmen working in an origin story was, like, the last thing I expected.
And this is a big origin story, too, because...
It is. It's very meaningful. The episode, by the way, The Extraordinary Being.
Okay, that's
or This it. Extraordinary yeah, this. Being, I should say. So, which I think is a Superman quote.
Okay.
Is, maybe?
I don't know.
They're talking about Superman in this episode, right?
Well, yeah, briefly, yeah.
They have Superman...
Action Comics #1.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Just giving you the chills thinking about it.
Anyways.
So this episode, I mean, I thought it was pretty great. Whatever reason, I thought it'd be like more like trippy than it actually ended up being.
I'm happy it wasn't.
Right. No, but you're right. I'm totally okay with that, too.
There were moments where it was like jumping between like, early 40s, I would say, and like back to the riots.
Oh, right, yeah.
Like, and it was like jumping between the two. Like, there was that like weird moment where the cops were like, hey, yeah, come with us, and then they drove away and there were two people being dragged behind there.
Yeah, that's not... They weren't actually
That was from the riots.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
But if it takes a second to be like, what?
Right, yeah. At first I was like that. In color. The people being dragged were in color where everything else was black and white.
Right, okay. That's... Okay.
So I feel like every time it was flashback to then, it was in color, but everything that was in the present was black and white.
When everybody from the real world kept trying to talk to them, I don't know if you noticed, the more she like started to lean into the real world, the more you saw color on their face.
Yes.
Which I thought was a cool effect.
Yeah, very interesting.
So I liked, you know, all along I've really dug this like interlude they've done with Hooded Justice. In the American Horror Story, or no, American Hero Story. Because, you know, like, as you know, the comic book does the comic within the comic sort of thing. So to do the prestige TV show within the prestige TV show, I thought was kind of an intriguing thing to do. And it actually has something to do with the plot. Like, it's really important. And I loved how this is like one version and reality is just totally different.
Yeah.
In so many different ways. And similar in some, oddly. But, okay. Yeah. So, this is probably like the first episode since, probably since the premiere to like really go back to the whole race thing a little bit.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know. I just found the whole thing like really affecting. Like, as a whole. Like, I thought it was an original enough telling of this tale that, I think it like stands out from other people who try to do the same sort of thing.
Mm.
But just to like frame like a hero origin story in that context too is just like incredible. And like it's weird because, I mean, Sam, you could probably comment a little bit more about this, but you know, Hooded Justice, like everything that I know as a viewer of, I mean, they really don't talk about him in the movie. They, you know,
he's the only one whose identity is never revealed in the comics.
That I remember. Yeah. I remember them being like, "Yeah, nobody knew who
they
this guy
thought
was."
It was like a strong man, like a traveling strong man. Okay. So they had like an inkling on who it might be, but from what everybody thought, he was white.
Right, and I mean, you know,
yeah,
he probably could still be, but and not in this world. I thought it was so great that it seemed to fit perfectly. Like it didn't need to be sort of jerry-rigged into it. Like it's like, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause like, why was he wearing the noose?
Right.
And like has his hands wrapped.
Yeah.
It's like, it didn't really make any sense.
Although it does. The whole time I was waiting for the hood part, like the big thing, like the pop giant popped collar, I guess you would say. But he never got it. I was a little disappointed. I don't know why.
So then he runs into a tailor shop. And let me tell you.
But I don't know about you guys, but I know what that giant tower's for now. do you guys know?
What do you think?
I'm 100% sure it's to brainwash all of humanity. I don't know if for good or bad, but it's a giant, like, because at the end of the episode, he takes that brainwashing, like, projector thing, and he ends up using it to kill the chief.
Mm.
Okay, can we talk about, we'll talk about that in a second.
Okay.
So with the chief, right?
Yeah.
Do we understand why exactly he did it? I mean, like, I get he had the clan thing.
Not really.
But that's, like, not it, right?
Well,
like,
there's other... So, he... Towards the end of his story, remember, who's the Metropolis guy?
Captain Metropolis.
Captain Metropolis. Was like, you're on your own for this whole race relations thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I think this is a continuation off of him trying to correct race relations, because there's got to be something more to the chief than his grandfather was the KKK. I mean, you even had the senator say that the chief was in charge of that, the KKK around there.
Right.
Who?
But he made it seem sort of like it was, I don't know, like he was like gaslighting them into doing whatever. Like right. it didn't seem like he was doing it for like racist ends.
Right. Mm-hmm. But I think to the Hood of Justice, it really doesn't matter at this point. He's right. Just an angry man.
Yeah, they make that clear where yeah. they keep hammering in like he's an angry man.
Yeah, I but mean, it, his wife yeah. says it a lot. Yeah,
yeah.
Like not only does he go through all the you know Tulsa race riot, but he's also gay.
Which well, that was odd to me because until
was it odder that he was gay? Or, no, I don't no. want to say what I'm going to say.
It was just odd that like up until that point you really didn't see him struggling with his sexual identity at sure. all. It was just all of a sudden like he touched his hand, next scene he's you know banging him from behind.
Right.
It's like immediately, oh, he's gay or oh, he's bi or whatever. Well, it's like it was just kind of
it's
like
it's an hour long episode. So
I know. It was
and just, we were focusing on the important parts. That I, him being gay is less important.
Yeah, I mean you can
oh,
kind
oh,
of
oh I see.
Sam. Oh yeah. Sam, let's just talk about his intersectionality for you know a good 20 minutes here.
But like that was the only thing that like bothered me. I wish they went into the turmoil he was going through for that. Just to, like touched upon it a little bit. You know, maybe he glanced at a guy and like it was like kind of weird, or like he took affection towards another guy. I don't know. Like it was just kind of weird and
But at the same time, we also have gotten the American Hero story where they did write out and say he's gay.
Right, but like he was also white. Like the story's yeah. wrong yeah. either way. So I mean, like. You don't know like what's true and what's wrong, but like this episode was.
I mean, so much of it just get sorry. So much of it just kind of gets like whitewashed,
right?
I
mean,
literally,
know. Yeah, literally. Yeah, in this case, literally. But I mean, like, how long did it take you guys to realize that the like grosser scene is the same thing?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Show? Immediately.
Oh yeah.
But it was like reversed.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's just I don't know. Like that just. That was the only part that I wish they focused a little bit more on for me, that it just felt a little out of place. I know they had to go there and there was a reason for it. But I just wish they like 5 minutes like dwelled a little bit on it a little bit more. But just cause this episode was basically like creating a character. You're showing him like why he's doing the things that he's doing through a very bizarre way. Where his granddaughter is watching him do these things. So it's really weird. But, like, it's her understanding who he is, like, through reliving his, like, the moments of his life that created the Hood of
Justice.
Anyone
else getting a little vibe of this where we're wondering, is this an unreliable narrator situation?
With respect to who? With Hooded Justice?
Yeah, or? With her grandfather, Hooded Justice.
Maybe.
Because he kind of leaves his pills there on purpose.
Maybe it's for her to discover who he is, or here's the other theory, which I'm going with is not true, because I feel like this is, like, what we're watching is true, but, like, the alternate it would be maybe those are Hooded Justice's memories.
But he's not Hooded.
But he's not Hooded Justice. He's taking the Hooded Justice's memories.
Maybe.
Well, that's interesting.
Well, one thing I did like about this episode is sitting there thinking, all right, if the whole point of this is like superheroes in the real world, if there was going to be a giant evil conspiracy in the real world, who's the closest analogy to run it? It'd be the Klan.
Yeah.
I guess. I mean, I don't think the Klan's ever really had
it's alternate
real
history.
Power, so to speak. But
well, they kind of have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, not around here, but in other places.
Yeah, they kind of around here.
Okay.
The 1920s, they were everywhere.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, who don't they have the thing where he's going through... is there World War II in this one?
Yeah, it is.
Right?
The beginning of World War II.
Yeah, and he's opening up the story about the Nazi rally in Madison Square Garden, which did happen.
Yeah, that did happen.
So, yeah.
But this was just a cool episode.
Oh, it was a phenomenal episode. Definitely, like, I didn't want it to end because, like, I was just so invested in the Hood of Justice at that point. Like, at the point of the reveal, I was like, oh my God, this is awesome. I love this.
Yeah, and what I really like, too, is that, you know, we got a lot of his backstory, but there's still, a big gap between, you know. Like,
it's him still killing the cops and the guy who burned down the Jewish shop.
The deli, yeah.
Yeah. And it's like he kills them, burns them down, steals the thing, and then, like, 70 years later, he just shows up and kills the chief. Yeah,
like, what happened
between them? That's why I'm thinking what happened was that device. First of all, he basically perfected it into a handheld version.
Mm-hmm.
You see that. But they keep mentioning, like, that giant tower is for, like, to bring, like, world peace.
Well, they keep saying it's a clock.
Right. So what I'm thinking is it's basically a giant version of that device that's going to go off and either cause world peace or cause, basically, because I just from the cast, all Caucasian people to just go batshit crazy against each other.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering too. Where it's like maybe Hood of Justice has gone evil.
Yeah,
because it's like,
ooh,
yeah.
That's,
I mean, like that's, seeing everything he goes through, it's like that clearly all has left a mark on him.
And it helps too that his quote business partner is Vietnamese, who saw the Americans come in and destroy that nation.
Oh, yeah. I have no, like, Lady True is almost certainly evil.
Right. I'm like, so positive. That's why I'm thinking that giant tower is to basically bring world peace, as in to turn white people against white people.
My only thing
in the theater.
My only thing there is that seems a little too clear cut for a Watchmen story.
Right. I agree.
And
there has to be some element of this where I go, well, they're kind of right.
Yeah. So, I don't know. But that's the vibe I'm feeling right now from this show, is that that's where we're going. That clock tower is going to use that
device.
Well,
the clock tower clearly is up. It means something.
Right. But now Angela is with Lady True in her facility being treated. And she sees something in some room. I don't know if you guys saw that.
Looks like she's goes looking for her grandfather.
Yes, and finds something that shocks her.
Dr. Manhattan.
And like,
I know. Yeah, we still don't know it fell to Earth. So,
yeah.
I mean, it could have been, you know, Dr. Manhattan for all we know.
Hmm.
Could be. No Ozymandias this week. Looks like we're going to have a scorcher next week.
Yeah, with the trial. Which
it
would have
been
I'm
a little weird
for.
Too if he was in it.
Yeah, I had to, like, we were getting towards the end, and I was like, okay.
He always
I
comes up in like 40 minutes.
Right. He's usually like the closing act of every episode. So I had to look it up. I was like, okay, Jeremy Irons is not in this episode. I don't have to worry about it. It's just Hood of Justice.
We can go to bed, honey. Yeah, I mean, the show is still firing on all pistons. Fucking love it, man.
This was, I think, rated one of the highest episodes. Which,
yeah, the,
rightly
this
so.
Week and the last week have been very highly rated. And I think the first two episodes are low, but I think that's like trolls.
I agree.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now that everybody who's, you know, hates things is gone, you know.
Well, usually, like, the first one or two episodes, people, like, downplay just so it gets bad reviews. And then they just, like, stop caring. It's like 2 weeks later, they're done. And then actual people sticking with it are like, oh, that was pretty good.
Yeah. Well, speaking of pretty good.
Mando.
Mando. The Mandalorian, episode 3, right? Yeah.
This would be 3, yeah.
Yep.
Premiered this weekend. And boy, let me tell you, shit was lit. Pretty much, I guess, I love The Mandalorian because it takes like 3 seconds to recap it.
Yeah.
So he shows up to the planet, turns Baby Yoda over to the pseudo-empire, has second thoughts.
Yeah, asks what they're going to do to the kid, which is huge.
Right.
The fact that he's referring to it as the kid and not it.
Yeah.
Because the big thing with Mandalorians that you have to understand is, like family and kids are very important to the culture. Adopted or birth children, they are the future. They're like,
right.
It is the way.
Yeah, you're right. They say, okay, we need these for the fledglings.
Foundlings.
Foundlings.
Yeah. So foundlings are like kids that they find and adopt into the Mandalorian.
Okay. That's why they're foundlings.
Right. Okay. So once he started referring to Baby Yoda as the kid rather than it or the package or whatever, right there, you're like, oh man, he's like, basically has the feels for this kid. Like, this is his kid.
Just like the rest of America.
See, oh, yeah. See, you just said that and just instantly popped in my head, we're going to get a Yoda Mandalorian, aren't we?
I hope so. Just like, he has the helmet, but the ears are sticking out. He's just like 3 feet tall, wandering around, shooting the guns.
I just want to see him walk around, but he has the jingle jangles too.
He has a jetpack. Flying around and stuff.
But it's too powerful, so it just goes flying to a wall.
Great episode for jetpacks, I'll tell you that.
Oh, yeah, it is.
All right, so, you know, he has his second thoughts. I really like, you know, he goes in the cantina, asks, you know, who else had the fob or whatever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You see, like, everybody says, yes, we had it, or, you know, they hold it up in the air. And then the other side of that shot when... he goes rogue with the Baby Yoda and all of them start blinking.
Yeah.
Like, oh, this is awesome.
Yeah. That shootout, which I saw it perfectly, like replace that droid on a cart with a horse and cart. And it's like straight out of a Western.
Oh yeah. This is totally like a sci-fi Western.
Oh God. And like, I'm not a huge fan of Westerns, but I'm loving this.
Well, I mean, like, he has the jingle. I still can't get over the fact
he does
that he has the jingle jangles. Just walks around.
Yeah. Oh man.
After so he gets a nice new suit of armor. Yep,
brand new suit of armor.
Gets some what do they call it? Fluttering bird or singing?
What are they called?
Singing birds.
These little missile things that you know probably are going to come up at some point.
And boy, do they!
Yeah. I mean, I look at that and I'm like, oh yeah, Favreau did Iron Man. It's like, oh yeah, that's just an Iron Man thing. Yeah, wait until he has like the lasers shooting out of his hands too. I mean, he practically does with the fire.
Yeah.
Pretty close. But yeah, it's...
That weapon is seen on, the only other Mandalorians in Star Wars that you've seen so far have been Jango and Boba Fett. But on one of their gauntlets, they do have those on there.
Yeah, doesn't Jango use fire?
He does.
Against Obi-Wan or whatever?
In the arena.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, there's tons of weapons on those gauntlets. You just almost never see them. He's using the it's not a whip, but the cord. He's using that a lot, which has been awesome. I loved when he killed the...
Lasso?
It's almost a lasso. But, like, when he grabs the stormtrooper with it, pulls it towards him and stabs him with it. Like, that was just an awesome kill. I love that. That was one of my favorite kills.
All right. John, I need to, though, the big moment of the story.
Yes.
When confronted by all the bounty hunters and scum and villainy of whatever spaceport this is, Mando, looking outgunned for the longest time, finally gets help when all the other Mandalorians show up, just like the ending of Harry and the Hendersons. Sean, what was your take?
Oh man, that was great. I mean, you see the missile fly overhead and just take out one of the snipers, and then all of them like come down on the jetpacks over the buildings and stuff and just go ape shit. You had the one that got into a fight with him earlier, where he just comes out with that chain gun thing and just like goes to town on, like, oh my God. It was phenomenal. I loved every second of it. And, like, you finally get to see these elite warriors in action in Star Wars, and they kick ass.
It was kind of crazy to me that they did this in, like, episode 3.
Right.
Yeah. Like, where do we go from here?
So, with that being said, the Mandalorians now have to go back into hiding because they're They've been found.
Yeah, they got to move the foundry.
You're right. They have to move the tribe
to a new
location.
They have
to
set up their base camp somewhere else.
Exactly.
This is like totally a video game, dude. I'm telling you. So then they end up on like Mustafar or some other planet as their base.
Can
like,
I be honest? Know? I'd play this game.
Oh, this game looks awesome.
Yeah.
With Baby Yoda, and then you can teach Baby Yoda different traits and attributes too, like Force Push.
Oh man, yeah, I'd play the shit out of this game. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, obviously, where are you going from here? So now he's on the run. He's got Baby Yoda. He's on the run. Which, how touching of a moment was that when he reached for the lever and he was like, "Oh, the ball's not there because of Baby Yoda," and he was like, God damn it, I gotta go back for him, and turns all the machines off and has to go all the way back and save him. But yeah, that gun is awesome too.
The interesting thing, like the one of the five times we had plot in this episode, it's not a criticism.
No, I know.
But the scientist guy,
mm-hmm.
when he runs into him, he's like, no, I was trying to save him.
Yeah.
Where you're like, all right. Maybe. What's going on?
Yeah, like...
is this guy going to be a recurring character? He's one of the good guys?
Yeah. He's a cloner, apparently, so...
Cloner!
I wonder if he's still alive.
Was it Dex?
Dex, yeah, from the Dex's Diner.
Yeah, he better be.
Dex named names.
Like, why does he have a mustache?
Why does he have a mustache? Why is he wearing an apron? Why does this whole thing have this 1950s style to it? Like, why anything in that scene?
Dex started to use some language we don't use anymore around Twi'leks. It's very outdated language.
Which, okay, it's Twi'lek, right?
I don't know.
Because what's his face?
Did I say Twi'lek? It's Twi'lek.
It's Twi'lek, yeah. But, oh God, what's his name from Rocky?
Weathers?
Carl Weathers. He says Twi'lek in this episode.
He also says Mando.
Yeah. Mando.
He just talks weird this entire time.
Mando.
But he
come
says,
with me to the spa.
Yeah, he says the Twi'lek spa. And I was like, Twi'lek spa? He means Twi'lek spa, because I've only ever heard it Twi'lek.
See, that hit me, and it just like rolled off me like water on a duck's back, because Star Wars is constantly throwing words at you that you're not even supposed
to
know.
The other weird thing is, too, is like, do they ever say Twi'lek in the movies?
I think it's just in the games.
So they've done this thing where they just do whatever they want for the movies, even though the games have been saying the same exact thing for like 20 years now. So, who knows? Like, I remember, like, Kashyyyk became Kashyyyk.
Oh, yeah.
Nay, Kazook.
Because it was the Kazook system.
Right. Oh, okay. Sorry.
According to the Star Wars Holiday Special. Sorry.
Which is not exactly canon.
It is, though. It is canon.
First appearance of Boba Fett.
We have a life day reference in this show. Yep, so.
We do. You're right.
Episode
we
one. But, yeah, according to... The basically the Star Wars Bible that says what's canon, what's not, the Star Wars Holiday Special is considered canon.
So okay. Art Carney is in this universe.
And all four versions of Harvey Korman.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Back, though.
And B. Arthur.
Right. So, my dude the Mando... I mean, I don't know what other choice he was ever going to do. I mean, you can't just like introduce Baby Yoda and not just... I mean, Baby Yoda is the show.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, not really, but if you were to look at the internet, you would think Baby Yoda... Like, this show is called Baby Yoda. And, like, people are, like, freaking out that, like, there's a fucking Boba Fett guy in it.
Yeah.
And, like, can you blame him?
Yeah.
Because, like, Mando, he's a nice guy and all. It's just, you know... He has, like, zero personality.
Like, how many months did, like, Favreau and like Kathleen Kennedy just keep going through like different like mock-ups of like what Baby Yoda would look like to figure out like what's the cutest.
And little who knew that taking Gizmo from Gremlins, shaving all the hair off of it and dyeing it green would be the answer.
And giving it just giant fucking ears.
Well, yeah, Gizmo has giant ears.
Oh, you're right, you're right.
Look at Gizmo, look at Baby Yoda. It's the same face, it's the same giant ears, it's just one has hair and one is just green.
Who did the Gremlins? Was it Stan, whatever his face is?
Winston, I don't think it was him. No, oh god. He was at Comic-Con this year, the guy who did, Gremlins. I forget who it was.
Oh god, Chris Columbus wrote this movie?
What? Oh, Gremlins?
Like, yeah, the guy who did,
yeah.
Like Home Alone and shit.
Yeah.
He just produced something too that was like super weird.
Did he? Anyways.
Yeah. This is a weird diversion, but yeah.
But yeah, so I mean I did see someone complain that people are calling it Baby Yoda. It's like, God, calm down. We have nothing else to call it.
Yeah, what are we gonna call it? Baby Green Thing?
The kid? Who knows what I'm talking about if I say, hey, the kid? And they're like, yeah, there's kids on the show. So what? So, oh, boy. Yeah.
It's not Yoda. Yoda's his name.
Then tell me what his species is, George. He's the only one who knows.
God damn it.
I'm thinking weird theory. He's related to those things from the Dark Crystal. Weird theory, but that's the one I'm going with.
All right. If we're doing weird theory time, here's like an actual one I'm working on. This is just a clone of Yoda.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, because it's a clone guy.
It's a clone guy?
Yeah.
Maybe it's a clone of Yoda.
Where did they get the Yoda DNA, Sam?
I don't know. Maybe Yoda was a randy bastard. I don't know.
Wow, Jesus Christ.
Maybe.
Oh my god. Oh my god. I never wanted to think about that. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Oh, man. I bet if you Googled that, you'd get some very weird things.
Well, let's see.
Oh,
do you think there's any, if
yes.
I just put... Okay,
hang yes. On. Without a doubt in my mind, yes. It's what is that? Rule 34.
Yeah, let's see it.
Let's see if the rule...
I'm going to turn the sound off.
Yes, please. Yeah, I'm going with rule 34 exists on this right now.
It might be sound only. Should we...
No. What are you doing?
Well,
oh, is it like Yoda Dirty Talk?
No, I'm watching... Like, this is the video on a popular porn tube site. But it's just a still picture,
you might say.
So I think it must just be audio.
I would look up just like pictures.
Oh, hang on, this is YouTube.
Oh, well, there you go. I do know that there's like people have turned Yoda sayings into like dirty talk.
Okay,
you know, like size matters not, like stuff like that. So it's probably like that video is probably somebody taking Yoda quotes and like. Making them sexual, but I guarantee you, if you look some like pictures up, there's pictures.
Oh, let's go to images.
Oh boy,
sprung Yoda is.
No, I don't have a single thing that's really what I'm looking for. So that's good.
What did you look up?
Yoda jerking it.
Make sure you erase that from your search history.
It's okay. I'm on your Wi-Fi.
I feel
that doesn't mean anything. You're logged into your account.
I feel like the audience lost something because, as John said, jerk it. He did move his hand in the motion. That kind of completed that whole thing. Whereas, like, if it was any other context, you could be like, "Oh, he was just like the act of throwing it away or something." But no, in this context, clearly, it was a jerk.
Okay. What do you think is the most searched for Star Wars? We don't need to go down this.
No, we don't, but because we all know the answer.
What, Princess Leia?
Yeah, in the gold bikini.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess there's probably a lot of that. Okay. Past that, what would you say? Natalie Portman. Oh, yeah, shit. past that, what do you think, Ray? Oh, fucking God. All right, we're done.
All right, we'll wrap it up. On that note, if you like our podcast, you can find all of our podcasts on... Whoa, loud. You can find us all on Stitcher, iTunes, and Podbean. Please leave us a rating on iTunes. That'd be awesome. You can find us at facebook.com/KnightsOfNerditude. Send us a comment if there's anything you want us to talk about. Let us know.
Listen, if you leave us a 5-star review at a movie, we'll review it, okay? I swear to God, all 4 of us.
Yeah.
So just, all right, yeah. That's our solemn pledge to you. All right.
All right. anyways, we'll see you next week. Have a great week.
Bye.